WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATV disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
I had not yet written a message on the key of righteousness when I had a dream. But I went this week and I pulled out that thing. In that same message, I wrote, the Lord gave me a word written out in a dream. And the word was, that which is in heaven will be heavenly on earth. That was February 20th, 2011. The Lord spoke to me again, you remember, toward the end of the year to preach on holiness and righteousness. Now, if you think I remember all these things, then I did, I don't. That brings out all this stuff now. And for Tuesday morning, I preached on the gift of righteousness. The free gift of righteousness through the reign of Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness is freely given us through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17-18. For if by one man's offense, and that would be Adam, death reigned, that would be King Death, through the one, which more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So the Bible says it is the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And by the effects of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The Bible clearly says that, you know, we can't work it out, we can't make it happen, we could, we would have all done it. Because I tried to be a good little girl all my life, could never quite make it, couldn't quite get there, because I was always beating myself up because I couldn't get reached that high level of being a good little girl. And then one day I got it. God gave me the gift of his righteousness. It was a gift that he gave me at the cross. I didn't have to work at it anymore.
Amen.
No more working at it. So I ordered a couple of books on heaven, and I got one from Wendy Allen, you may have already, called Visions from Heaven. It, again, is another one of these supernatural, extraordinary encounters with the Father. Following a season after deep personal trauma. In a series of panoramic visions, the Father and Jesus take Wendy on an extraordinary journey from the Father's chambers to the brilliant and sheer majesty of the throne room to Satan's trophy room and the macabre trading floors of the souls of men. I haven't gotten that part of the book yet, but I'm going to share a little bit to you about what she wrote in the book today. The book was written in 2013, and she writes on page 55, as spoken to her by the Father. She said the Father spoke these words to her. Heaven is about to be made earth. There is about to come the greatest move of the Holy Spirit released upon the earth that has ever been known. Okay, it's coming from every direction. The prophet's here. And God will not do without anything that will speak to the prophets. So when we begin to hear it, then you'll begin to hear it coming in all directions. I think I had heaven invade me last night, yesterday afternoon. I felt like heaven invaded my car. It came down and out. And when I was standing back there and worshiping, I felt, I think it was while that was cross-eyed, I felt something laid over my shoulders. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I felt it standing back there. this visitation of the Lord, she had been in this experience, had been actually been through 24 months of agony and physical suffering. She says she went from a size 6 to a size 2, and she couldn't eat anything for 24 months, then it was still on her stomach. And it was one of these really wild, some kind of diseases that nobody had ever treated before and kind of treated. And so she was, you know, an experiment. There was no cure except God. TV. They're the founders of God TV. And she came through the faith walk, what we call the faith movement that was on the earth. And she believed in her heart of hearts that if she prayed all the words, if she said all the right things, if she was good, if she did all the right things, that she would not have to suffer any tribulation or trouble in this life. Now, and we all have, maybe not all of you, but I understand that because I was of the same mindset. Mm-hmm. I did everything right. Mm-hmm. I think I told God that. I did everything right. How could this go wrong? And so she was of that mindset, how could this happen to me, God? I did everything right. Mm-hmm. Or the best she do. I mean, you know, she's like me. You try to confess all your sins. But after the battle, the Lord revealed to her she still had deep trauma, wounds, and abandonment wounds. Okay, she really believed that God had abandoned her. And she couldn't figure out why she as a righteous woman was having to go through these things. And she felt that God had abandoned her in her suffering. And she, at that time she received these visitations, she had not spiritually resolved how such a bad thing could have happened to her, a good person, and how she would ever feel completely safe again. I want to talk a little about, I call it mud holes. After I have been through battle, and I warn the church, when you go through a battle, and we'll have many battles in the life, you've got to get cleaned up afterwards because you're going to have mud on you through the battle. You have to be careful going through the battle that you don't get mud on you. No. This has been my description. God showed me one time that I was trying to jump a mud hole and I got mud on me and trying to jump the mud hole. That's why I call it getting mud on you. Because when you go through a battle, there is trauma left on you. And even though you come through victorious in the battle, you still got trauma. And it took me, you've heard me say this before, it took me years. I was 4 years down where I was terrified of churches. I was terrified to go into a church because I had been wounded by the church accusing me. They said, this is a good girl. And they said, well, you have to have sin in your life or else you wouldn't be going through this trouble. You've got to have sin in your life, whatever your sin is. I look back now, I had a whole lot of sin, which most of it was pride, self-righteousness, and the religious spirit, all kinds of things I had. But the Father raptured her into heaven by vision and revealed to her the progressive healing that he was working in her life. Details that you can get the book. She said he took her into this room and he showed her this crystal crown, and that the glass was falling out of it all around her. And she said as the glass fell out, it had been cutting her head, and as the glass fell out, the angels were picking it up. And she said God was showing her this was the way he was healing her trauma. That sin in your life, and if you check God, see, I'm going to beat him over the head because I got beat over the head. Number two, those who are experiencing attack through unhealed wounds and through areas of vulnerability where the enemy has found access. I picture this. Okay, let's say you have an open wound and it begins to heal. It has a very light scab over it. And someone comes up and sticks a knife in it. Okay? That's what he's talking about there. And you're still vulnerable in that area. If people judge you or attack you, you have a vulnerability there. And number three, those of my children who have been sifted, say sifted.
Sifted.
Not by my hand, but by the enemy's hand. is indifferent to this piece of warfare, it's like your whole life blows up in front of me. Mm-hmm. And you have no control over anything to fix anything or put anything back in order or glue anything back together. Everything blew up. That's what I call assisting. This past season on earth, my dread champions, that means strong ministers of God, both known and unknown, apostles, prophets, seers, and intercessors, those called apostolically to take dominion of the mountains of kingdom government, all those that Satan and his principalities and powers recognize my mantle upon. Mean your mark, okay. In the realm of the spirit, Christian, your mark. Satan knows your mark, and angels know your mark, and they know your house is marked. The reason for the season of violent assault upon my church is because of their mantle, and they've been chosen. Satan himself is terrified. He fears these ones and the next great boom in my spirit greatly. He fears these, my servants, because heaven is about to invade earth. Because there is about to come the greatest boom in my spirit released upon the earth that has ever been known. So Satan sued for many of those who were called to take up position in this outpouring to launch such cruel attacks that their faith and trust will be totally shattered. Like a heat-seeking missile. Yes, the heat, the very fire of my call, my favor, my mark upon my sons and daughters in this season caught the enemy's full attention. Because of their call to dominion, their books were called up by the accuser of the brethren to the highest court of heaven. And she gave this description of the throne room where her book had been laid before the highest court of heaven. Okay? I haven't gotten to the place in the book where we come back to it. It just presented that her book was laid before the highest court. See, all of us have a book of our life in heaven. There is a book written about everything we've ever said, done, thought, or thinking about in heaven. This is the high courts of justice. And because of these ones calling to affect entire nations and to bring kingdom government and dominion to apostolic areas of rule in the earth, these warriors have been anointed by my Holy Spirit to apostolically walk through the very gates of hell in the areas of kingdom government to wrest the kingdom of darkness with violence and take it by force. Mm-hmm. These are the warriors. The ones that the warrior angels are in the center. I think we got some warriors in this house.
Amen.
Y'all wouldn't have hung in here this long if you hadn't been loved. You would have bailed early on. She describes being in heaven in a beautifully designed storehouse. As far as eyes could see, with thousands upon thousands of angels. Some of the warriors would love it. Others with emerald and crimson velvet, all with ermine fur at their collars. And next to each mantle hovered an enormous golden scepter with emeralds, rubies, or sapphires embedded in the orb. And again, as we've read others describe, a fabric in heaven, and that's in both of these two other books that I read on heaven by Richard Sittman and Kent Kerr. They both describe this amazing fabric, and they describe it as being a gossamer type, which is a very thin fabric, very fragile, very sheer, almost like a web. Randolph Hughes. Next to each of these hovered intricately designed silver scepters that seemed to radiate some form of blue electrical charges like lightning. Remember, I think it was last week when I was talking about the seraphim and they had blue light, and when they would enter in and hover over a congregation, that blue light of their fire, and that every person in that room would know that they had been in that fire. Above each of these mantles was a delicate tiara with one beautiful sapphire and aquamarine diamond in the very center. Sorry, I forgot my mouth water. You see the repetition of what these seers are seeing that God is showing them in heaven? Of course, I just pick out sections to share.
The books have more than I could possibly share in a sermon.
She knew the velvet and ermine robes were governmental mantles for the apostles to the nations and the apostles to the mountains. Mountains in the Bible express kingdoms on the earth. There are many kingdoms within the United States of America. Okay? Religious kingdoms, different kinds of kingdoms. The gossamer mantles were supernatural mantles of Father's glory from prophets, seers, and watchmen. As she moved towards one that especially drew her, the Lord Jesus touched her shoulder. Then she got touched on the head of this one. Beloved, before my children, this is Jesus talking to her. Okay, I move into Jesus talking now. Beloved, before my children put on their mantles, they must be healed of the trauma experienced from passing through long seasons of physical infirmity and suffering they went through. You are greatly healed, but the long seasons of despair and abandonment has left you vulnerable. Tenderly, he reached out his fingers and touched the faded scar that still encircled my head, she said. That was from the trauma of that crystal crown of his falling on. Jesus talking. In this next season, it is important that my dread champions who receive my mantles for the end-time battle that dawns, that any places that are still vulnerable to the enemy are sealed off by my Holy Spirit. Now you will know where you are vulnerable. It will be your thoughts that are yucky. Any unforgiveness. If someone comes before your mind, you go home. You still got unforgiveness toward that person. You haven't dealt with it.
Amen.
Any selfish ambition, any selfishness. There's so many ways that we're still vulnerable before God. And that's where the enemy will get us. Your final, this is Jesus still talking. Your final healing of trauma will not be dependent on your works, child. It is now dependent on my grace. So why would Jesus tell me at the end of the year to preach on holiness and righteousness by his grace, according to Romans 5, to reinforce that his grace and his righteousness is going to be the power of the end-time church and his holiness. It's going to be used to him on his people as a free gift. At the same time, he released crowns to this congregation. At the same time, he's having me preach on heaven. Now I'm going to read what she said, that Jesus said again. Your final healing of trauma will not be dependent on your works, child. It is now dependent on my grace. It is dependent on my goodness And you're only a part in your healings. In this, your final deliverance is to rest in me. For my goodness and my mercy will surely find you and shall follow you all the days of your life. Remember, the Lord showed me that goodness and mercy are angels that follow us where we go, according to the scripture. The Father picked up an exquisite gossamer mantle that reflected light on the rainbow and held it over my head. I started to panic. I'm not ready, Father. You yourself have said I'm not fully healed. The Father gently placed the mantle over my head until it rested around my neck. And the enormous weight of the mantle's glory was overwhelming. I could barely stand. There are some of you in this room who have been so faithful. Even after you've come out of trauma, physical suffering, you've come
through
the trials of life, and your faithfulness has come up before God.
Amen.
And there will be mantles released. We've received three crowns in the first of the year by the Spirit of God. We've received three crowns. First was the crown of the year 2017. Then was the crystal crown of our tears, which have been recorded in heaven. And the third one was the crown of glory. When it's the crown of glory, the third one, we had three crowns released. No, I'm sorry. It was the crown of was it the crown of loving kindness? Was the third crown. Okay, so when the crown came upon her head, it was more heavy, heavy glory. And all at once, it was though my head was being anointed with oil. And there was a life verse on every mantle, unique to the person it was created for. Then slowly the Father handed me the scepter. The power of the supernatural authority surged like electricity. Before many days, a new door opens before you, and before many like you. A door of restitution, of restoration, and of justice. I can't tell you how many people I minister to, a lot of people on the telephone and they call me. And they seem to be crying out for God's justice. And on Wednesday night, it wasn't just a few weeks ago that I saw a vision of the scales of justice being tipped. And we're watching as justice is being restored to our government. But that also means that justice is going to be given to his church. Jesus speaking, in your weakness, even as with my servant Paul lies your strength. You see, my child, what is courage? He asked me tenderly. Courage is when you're brave and you don't fear, she answered. Jesus, now courage, my beloved daughter, is not always the absence of fear. It's doing something even though you're afraid.
Amen.
true.
That is what overcoming means. The greatest overcomers are those who overcome the most fear, the most traumas. Courage is often measured here in heaven far differently than that on earth. The times of greatest courage are often the times when my children are hit by terror and fear, and yet still they stand.
Amen.
We know in the shooting that we had last week in school, I can tell you that all those children are in heaven. And those who stood the way, those bullets, they're heroes. But they face terror. A warrior will always run to the battle. A warrior will always run before the battle. Still they endure. Still they persevere. Remember this one thing will remain. And she says, what is that, Daddy? That all these ones, hewn in the furnace of Satan's attack, and in the intense warfare of these end days, that these ones are mine. And in capital letters, they are mine. They will have open access to my throne. They will sit on my lap and rest in my everlasting arms. Even while they fulfill their destiny on earth, those are the ones who will live often at my throne. She describes a beautiful visitation to the throne room of the Father's glory, emanating from the throne, illuminating the entire chamber with a blazing holy brilliance. But for that word today, I may come back to that. I'm going to skip the throne room and describe the garden. This is the garden she described. Her words. The field was completely bare, except for a thin, three-seamed blanket of white frost. Above the ground, all over this freezing blanket, were thousands of tightly furled flowers that seemed to me to look like the crocus buds we know on earth. As she watched, a warm wind started to blow, and that would be the Holy Spirit, wind of the Holy Spirit. The sun rose high above the field, and suddenly from all four corners of the vast expanse, thousands of the most incredibly beautiful flowers began to blossom at a rapid rate, as though in some kind of intensely lit hothouse. The flowers and plants were beautiful beyond description. Lord Jesus gazed at the garden with great tenderness. I knew they were of exceeding worth to him. They were the lives and ministries that had been birthed in the hard places, where no man had tended them. They have so often been passed over and overlooked in place of those who to the outward eye were more seemly. I knew these were the lives and ministries that the Lord himself had intimately tended. He reached down and cut the stem of one of the plants, and immediately great gushing water poured out. Those who had stood through the arid times when there was little encouragement, when they were bare and dry, and had sought their praise and approval solely from Jesus and the Father, so in turn, now because of their faithfulness, they were to be containers and the outpourers of his presence of revival fire. These are the saints we've been talking about on Sunday night. Of unending floods of living water, And it's in time now that would literally water families, towns, cities, and communities. Ministries of the dry and thirsty. Rivers of life. From the source of living water that would never be quenched. In the far, far corner of the garden, I saw bunches of smaller, wild-looking, brightly colored flowers. They appeared to be growing crazily, unstoppable, with no pattern or order. A great, joyous, piping melody came up from them. And I watched as the Lord Jesus bent over and plucked the flowers. There was such a look of joy and tender love on his face. And somehow I knew that he deeply enjoyed the hearts of these ministers who, in the face of all opposition and persecution, had overcome and were overcoming the fear of man enough to follow his voice and his spirit above all others. These were the ministers who seemed out of step to the church and the present day because they danced to a new sound from heaven and piped a new melody to the bride of Christ. Although they were not yet fully understood by the fivefold ministry of the day, I knew from the Lord that this would change in the next coming season. For they were intimately known, deeply loved, and embraced by the Master. Jesus placed them gently back onto the emerald green grass and watched in joy as they continued to pipe and dance ahead of the field. She then saw two large trees which towered over the garden. These represented apostolic works in the earth today. They had already provided much sustenance for the Lord's people, and he was well pleased. In this next season, there was to be a different mandate and even wider influence because they had proven trustworthy in the past season. Mm-hmm. Huge branches were growing from the trunks as she watched, and their roots went down hundreds of feet below the surface. Suddenly, many eagles, previously unseen, stirred as one. Magnificent, white, and golden eagles flew from the branches. The trees were apostolic, representing the structure, developers, and builders. The eagles were the prophets and the seers. These were the apostolic and prophetic works that were rising in the earth. These ministries were a place of refuge, healing, and teaching. The prophets worked and moved seamlessly with the apostles. We saw this happen in Belize. It was seamless. The branches of the trees were a place of habitation and safety for the prophets under the apostolic covering. She then described the fields of those who are prisoners of war, missing in action, and wounded warriors. And I didn't put these in, but as we were worshiping, the Lord asked me to share about one of these prisoners of war. He was a missionary, and she saw him at the prisoner of war camp. And he had gone in the mission field at great cost to his family, great sacrifice to his family sacrificed for his calling. They had to grow up in the mission field in want and need. He gave it all on the mission field. He saw very little fruit come out of it during the time that God sent him into the mission field. But he gave it all and kept giving it all. And then, out of the seed that he planted, young ministers came in, and their ministries went international based on the seed that this older minister had planted. And bitterness came into him. And she said these, a lot of these people in this prison are more kept than she saw. They had these huge hunchbacks on their back. And she said it was so huge, it was bitterness that had come upon them. Because they had given so much, and they had not received anything in return for all that they had planted. And he said, and the reason that they got into this bitterness was because the church did not pray for them. And he said, but he says, we're here today standing at Fitz, because these prisoners of war were tied to Fitz. And he said, but an intercessor prayed for this man. And I'm here today to deliver him. And he said, your prayers for the ministers will keep them from going into bitterness and burnout and falling away in their ministries. I want to pray for one of those. We saw it, didn't we? We saw all that she's poured out. All that's cost you. And we also saw her poured out coming on.
Goodness.
I said, last night I knew to cry after my head. Yeah, I call it a suggestion. But Lord, I stand in the gap today. Thank you, Alan. I stand in the gap today. I show my Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I ask you, Lord, that she will not become bitter. Mm-hmm. She will not become burned out. Lord, she will have great joy for all the seeds that she has planted. Lord, I stand in the gap for Jared Agnes. Lord, for all the seeds that he has planted.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, for all the missionaries that we brought in through the years that we've sown into their lives. And Lord, I pray that they will not burn out. They will not become bitter. And Lord, I pray you visit them today and strengthen them as you did this missionary. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Can I show you something? At the beginning, when you just started preaching, you started talking about mud hole. And I recently saw a mud hole. I'm not drawing. Awful. I saw a mud hole, and then I started drawing a mud hole. A mud hole. The mud hole for the, where the warriors sometimes get mud on them.
Oh, mud. Okay, mud hole.
And I saw a prison underneath for those who fall into the mud hole. And then God showed me two trees on either side of the mud hole. And then he showed me the roots going down from the trees into the prison and taking those that are in the prison under the mud hole out from the prison.
Lord showed you this issue.
Right at the beginning of this.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Just very, I mean, my drawings are awful, but I am just in awe right now under everything. And God said, we are the trees, and God can reach anyone. The roots are the roots of God.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. I have some notes here on the end that I just threw in for my message on being righteous. But let us pray. Let's just pray and seek the Lord and just seek him for what he would have us to do. I know there's mantles going to be used.
what we should do. Let's just see which way the Spirit wants to go now. Let's pray in the Spirit.